is where we're going to be today, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What's so great about speaking in other tongues? Kids, almost every kid you ever run into goes through a season of gibberish. They'll walk up to you, they'll look you in the eye, and they'll hand motions and everything. You're sure they know what they're talking about. At least they're sure they know what they're talking about. And they love to do it when you're in conversation with another adult. They'll just walk in because they want to be a part of all the goings on there. Whenever you're out and about and you hear some folk talking in a different language, doesn't it pique your curiosity? Wouldn't you love to know what the more paranoid among us are sure they're talking about us. You know, that's then they start laughing and ooh, all this going on. The missionaries that we send out call it a person's heart language. Often on foreign fields, the people will speak a second language, one of the major ones, English, Spanish, French, and they can converse with the people on that level. But they said when the missionary learns the native tongue, it's their heart language. They can see the people just light up and draws them right in when you are speaking their language. Well, for whatever reasons, God has chosen to speak through us and to us in languages we just don't understand. It's like he wants to have a conversation with us without us getting in the way of it. And that's what we'll be talking about today. What's so great about speaking in other tongues? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Father, we're asking you to help us with this subject today. It's odd. I hate to be the one to tell you this, God, but there's a lot of things you do that's rather odd. Well, and I guess you fess up to it in your scriptures when you said, your ways are not our ways. And we would say, amen. Amen and amen. But Lord, there are some things that you have revealed to us that become extraordinary, just like your grace. So in this subject, Lord, we invite you in to be the teacher today. Show us some things we've never seen before. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps the greatest objection to people speaking in other languages or in tongues is the fact that it makes no sense at all. Why in the world would God have me speak words I do not understand? Here in our text, Paul says that when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. So right away we need to understand, it's not about my mind. I don't understand. Good, because it's not about your understanding. It's about my spirit. My spirit. My spirit and his spirit communing together. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for if anyone who speaks in a tongue does not, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with the Spirit. So Paul says, yeah, nobody knows what you're saying. Nobody understands. You're not talking to people when you speak in other tongues. You're speaking directly to God. God's Spirit is communing with my spirit. It's not an exercise in learning. It's an exercise in leaning. That's good. It's not an exercise in learning. It's an exercise in leaning. It's not about knowledge or understanding. It's about abiding and trust. Friend, I want to tell you, there's a spiritual dimension to your relationship with God. We want to make it all mental. We want to make it all about what I know. It goes beyond that. If you're married, your relationship with your spouse. It's got to go beyond, well, they're good at keeping the bank records straight. They're good at mowing the lawn. They're a good cook. No, there's something mysterious about this relationship between husband and wife. You're feeling stressed, and what do? You give your spouse a hug, and you feel yourself melt into them. You catch a whiff of the smell of their hair, and you feel the peace coming over you. You can't get that out of a phone conversation now, can you? It's more than your knowledge of your spouse goes way beyond you can describe them to somebody else. You know what their strengths and weaknesses are. You know those little quirks that drive you nuts, as well as the things that charm you. There is a knowledge beyond words, facts. There are nonverbals. A baby doesn't understand the lullaby that their mother is singing. And good thing, too, because have you listened to some of the lullaby? Rock a by baby in the treetop, when the wind blows, the cradle will rock. Down will come baby cradle and all. Well, thanks. That's great. But the baby is being communicated to as the mother rocks and as she sings, and the sound of the voice, even though she doesn't understand the words her mother is singing, the sound of her voice is so soothing. It's nonverbal. It's like a hug. It's like a verbal hug, I guess you could call it. One of the things I love about prayer is that when I begin to pray, I have no idea what I'm going to say. But when I'm done praying, I often think, boy, that was good. I like that. Because it wasn't me leading the prayer. Or if it was me, it was my spirit, not my mind, that was leading the way. I trust that the words were coming from the Holy Spirit. One day we were in prayer here in our morning prayer session and walking back and forth and calling out to God. And it just hit my spirit in an odd way. And I said, God, who goes into a grape vine? Who goes into a vineyard? That's what I'm looking for. Who goes into a vineyard and picks a grape? Who considers that a successful day? If you hired a bunch of migrant workers and you sent them all out and they all came back with a grape. Nobody picks a grape. You go in and you get a basket. And I said, Lord, thank you that when we're harvesting, we get a grape every once in a while. But, oh, Lord, the harvest is ripe. That's what the Bible says. We need to harvest the clusters. We need to take our wheelbarrows. We need to get our wagons and fill them up. Lord, teach us as a church to be harvesters, not just pickers. And it kind of changed the way we prayed in the morning, and it set our sights in a different direction. It didn't come from me. It came from the Lord. We need to listen more to what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to tune into that frequency. We need to find out what God is saying. Praying Spirit-inspired prayers in English blesses my understanding. I know so much, but then God reveals. Has that happened to you when you've been in prayer? Suddenly a thought comes or a whole new doorway opens up and you've grown spiritually. You've grown in your relationship with God by having spent time with God. The Spirit has broken through to you with some understanding. When I pray in other tongues, I may or may not have an inkling what the Spirit is saying. But Paul says in chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. As I speak in other tongues, I'm being built up in my spirit. I'm strengthening my spirit man. It's sort of like spiritual weightlifting. I am speaking and I'm being built up as I do. My mind is not being fruitful, but my spirit. I'm targeting my spirit. They have all these exercises. I was at the gym one morning and they've got, as if bench press isn't hard enough, they've got some benches that are slanted. Some are slanted down and some are slanted up. And I saw this guy, he slanted, his feet are up in the air and he's bench pressing. And I said, well, What's with the slant? He says, when you slant it, you work your lower and your upper pecs, you know, and this and that. Thank you, you know. you're working, you target certain muscles when you're serious about, those guys that are serious about their weightlifting. And now we who are believers, you know, you need to target your spirit. You need to build up. We're often working on our mind, which is good, because let me tell you, your mind needs some help. But your spirit, if you were stronger in your spirit, you would have more endurance through the trials that you face. If you were stronger in your spirit, you would be sharper in your response. Your heart would be in tune with God's desires more quickly. You ever walk away from a conversation, say, oh, I wish I had said this, I wish I had done. Well, maybe we just need to tune up a little bit. We need to target our spirit and build up our spirit. And Paul said, tongues is one way that I build up. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It builds us up. It strengthens us. Verse 18, Paul wrote, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, and he's actually trying to get them to talk a little bit less in tongues when they're in a public setting. He's getting that into a better condition. He says, now look, no, I don't want you to think I'm against tongues, because I speak in tongues more than all of you. I spend a lot of time just praying and speaking in other tongues, speaking to God. So it's endorsed by the Apostle Paul. Speaking in tongues privately should be an everyday experience for people filled with the Spirit. If God has granted you a prayer language, that ability, you ought to be doing that daily, or at least a couple times a week. But a relatively rare occurrence in public. Most people who speak in other tongues will never speak in other tongues in a church service. That is a rather rare, not that it shouldn't happen in every church service, but it should be a rare occurrence for a person. And why is that? Well, when I speak in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. And you don't understand what I'm saying. So it doesn't edify or build you up. It has no inspirational value. If I was just up here preaching in other tongues, I guess the Catholic Church did that for a while with everything in Latin. And thank God the people rose up and said, look, you know, this isn't helping. And there was some resistance to that. But finally they started giving their messages and their service in language that could be understood. But if I say something inspirational, God is so faithful, hallelujah. It reminds you that, yeah, God is faithful, and you have a response to that. It incites something in you. How often have we been in worship and your mind kind of wanders? My mind will wander every once in a while. And then I'll open my eyes or I'll see somebody who's really worshiping, and it will remind me, ah, yeah, that's right. God is worthy of praise. Or a line in the song will really strike me, and it'll bring my focus back to, yes, that's right. God is worthy of praise. It's good. I heard it. I understood it. It inspired something inside of me. So I don't come into a public setting and speak a lot in other tongues, because that's unfruitful to you. You have no idea what, I have no idea, let alone you have no idea what I'm saying. So I want to speak in other tongues more than I do, so that my spirit gets stronger. But in a public setting, I want to take whatever inspiration I've received and put it in our language so that we can be inspired together. There's something about speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enables me that helps me hear Him better whenever He speaks my language and directs me to minister to others. It's not gibberish. It is language. It is the Lord speaking in my inner being. 1 Corinthians 14:15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, that is in other tongues, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. My favorite use of tongues is in worship. There are times when I'm worshiping the Lord and I run out of words. I get to the end of what I can think, and He's greater than what I can think. And so I'll say, well, Lord, You're so good. You've been so kind to me. Oh, I'm amazed at how intimately You know me. It's like You're reading my diary. You're reading my thought. You're one step ahead of me all the time. And as I run out of phrases and words and thoughts, the other language can kick in and I can worship Him more fully. Through the Holy Spirit, I'm uttering words and phrases that come closer than my own words can to painting a picture of the worship God is worthy to hear. There are some words we borrow from other languages simply because we have nothing in English that really replaces them. And so their words have become part of our lexicon. And the same is true spiritually. I speak His language because my words are inadequate. Now, it may sound like I'm trying to sell tongues this morning, but what I'm trying to do is whet your appetite for an experience that maybe you've not had yet, that can connect you with God in a different level, maybe even a deeper level than you've yet experienced. Sadly, there's a lot of resistance to tongues. And that may come because you've heard some people misusing tongues. They may have gotten loud and been out of order in a service. You may know somebody that speaks in other tongues and they're a real jerk outside of church. And you say, hey, you know, if that's what it is, I don't want it. So there may have been some misuse that has tainted your opinion toward it. Maybe you've had some prejudice sown into you. You've been to a church where they say, that doesn't happen today, that shouldn't be. Maybe you've heard all these stories and such. And of course, there's a natural fear of what we've not experienced before. No, thank you. I'll stick with my own language. I'm having trouble enough with that one. And, we'll go from there. But what I want you to hear this morning is the Word of God. Hear the scriptures that we're going over. Listen to what the Lord is saying to us and offering to us today. Desiring to speak in other tongues, that's an act of faith. This is not natural. You don't go around, boy, I would really like to say things. I have no idea what I'm saying. Now, again, I do that enough in my own language, let alone in a different one. But it's just not a natural desire. This is something that I would like. The only reason you would want to do it is because it's authorized by God. It's something that God said He gives to us as a gift. And if God's offering it, it's good. It's good. It will take a step of faith. It will cause me to get out of my comfort zone. It will have me go to a different place. But maybe I need to go there. As I said a few moments ago, it doesn't make sense to us. So it takes faith to walk that direction. I think the best approach to asking God for the gift is to have a natural aversion to it. And say, I only desire to speak in tongues because God, that's the only reason I would, Lord, I'm going to trust You on this one. Take me to the place where I need to be. As you study 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, I'd like you to make a differentiation in your mind between when Paul is talking about speaking in other tongues as a prayer language that edifies, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, and as a spiritual gift. As a spiritual gift, it must be interpreted. Paul said, it's okay if you speak in other tongues in a public service, as long as you or somebody else interprets what is said so that everybody can be edified. When it's done publicly, it builds everybody up. But when you are using your private prayer language, do that in private. It doesn't need to be interpreted. You can just enjoy being built up in the presence of God. So there's a difference between prayer language and spiritual gift. The spiritual gift is for the body. The individual prayer language is for the person to be built up. That's why many people who speak in other tongues in their own private prayer time, many will never give a spiritual gift in a service and speak out loudly in other tongues, praying that somebody else will interpret so that the body can be encouraged with whatever message the Lord would have given. So again, spiritual gift is for the edification of all that are present. The prayer language is for the edification of the person speaking in tongues. They've got two different purposes. And that's important to note. And you may feel inspired. You need to discern, Lord, do you really want me to speak to the body, or do you want me to speak to myself? I don't think that there's a spiritual law against me speaking or praying or praising in other tongues as long as I keep it between myself and God and not, drawing the attention of others away from their own worship. Verse 22 says, tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Well, now, how does that work? If an unbeliever is here and somebody speaks, because I don't know a Pentecostal or many Pentecostals who haven't thought, let me put it this way. I remember my dad invited some friends to church back when I was younger. And I remember hearing him say, I was just praying that nobody would speak in other tongues so that my friends would have a chance to kind of get in sync with the congregation, get used to stuff before that got sprung on them. And sometimes we feel that way. Not today. We've got visitors, and we've got people who are just warming up to. They got freaked out when we clapped our hands when we worshiped. What are they going to do when somebody shouts out in other tongues? But there's a couple different ways that this witnesses to people. First of all, it can be a witness to somebody who speaks another language. It has happened that when somebody speaks out in other tongues, they don't know what they're saying, but somebody in the congregation just might. This has happened a number of times. I've got a book in my library that has some wonderful illustrations of people coming to the Lord because they knew that they knew the person didn't speak this language, but God was speaking through them to them personally. Now, most of us don't know a second language, so that's not even other than Pig Latin, exe, unze, unge. But the second way that it does witness to people, and I've seen this because I've been one of those guys who at times have said, oh, Lord, we got a lot of visitors, please not today. And then talk to the visitors as they're on their way out, and they would say things like, I've never been in a service where somebody spoke in other tongues before. But that was so beautiful. I really felt the presence of God. And I go, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, me of little faith. He makes his impression as he will. So tongues then can be a sign, not even for believers, but for unbelievers. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, why didn't God just use us in prophecy? Why would he have somebody speak in other tongues when we all speak the same language and then have it interpreted? How many have questions for God? Just put that on the list. You can ask him when you see him. God will do what God will do. And I'm fine with that. He does all things well. Let's see where I'm at here. There we are. Oh, I like this. It's amazing how unspiritual many Christians are. It's amazing how unspiritual many Christians are. Can you say amen to that? if you're like me, you're learning to be spiritual. It doesn't come natural. I was just talking to a friend this morning, and he was talking about he and his son had a good conversation about the Lord. And he says, you know, it's funny how we've got these walls, and that's hard for us to do. It is. It's hard for us to talk spiritual with other people. Now, some people, they seem to do it very well, and they're blah all the time, and that's great. But for most of us, it's just hard. We're almost a little embarrassed to be the first to start the conversation. But once the conversation starts, then we can go along just fine. And you know, there are a lot of churches today. People will go to church and not give God a thought. They'll go through a ritual. They'll go through a pattern. But it'll be dead. It'll be dry. And we're worse than most generations at it because we've just come out of this scientific age where everything must be proven with a test tube and a formula. And if I can't, you know, test it in a lab, it's not real. Now, we're coming out of that, so I think there's a great opportunity for the Pentecostal church, this new generation. But stop being unspiritual, will you? Let your spirit feel. Let your spirit be expressed. Allow God's presence to wash over you. Soak in Him a while. Get lost in worship every once in a while. I know what's happened to Ray too. It happens to me a lot. That's why I like Ray doing the announcements right after worship, because there are times I'm in worship, I don't know what to do next. I mean, I've been doing this for what, 1,000 years now? And still, after I'm done with worship, I'm lost in worship. And there's a holy lostness to me. I'm trying to remember, okay, announcements. What are announcements? And, you know, you're just kind of trying to get your feet on the ground again. You've been in heavenly places. Go ahead and get lost. Go ahead and give yourself over. Experience worship. Don't just sing. Experience worship. Don't just stay in your little group and be worried. Oh, man, if you're worried about what the people around you will think if you start worshiping, shame on you. You got a shame on you from the pulpit today. You need to forget about everybody else. And if you need to, you can join me on the front row. That's what I like about worshiping in the front row. Because I'm usually about the only person. I can whip my hands out this way and do a little jig if I feel like it, you know. You got to be careful back there. You don't want to smack somebody in the face when you're getting inspired there. Stop being unspiritual. Give yourself, step out there. Talk about the Lord. Worship Him. Experience worship when you come to church. Many have never really learned to pray in English, let alone in tongues. Never really had a real prayer in your whole life. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to your Lord, my soul. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, He who's fastest gets the most. Amen. You got your memorized prayers. Have you ever learned how to pray? We're not expecting. In fact, many are afraid to experience anything spiritual. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The knowledge is important. Truth is vital. But there's the spirit end of it too. You are a spiritual person. You may want to deny it, but you have a spiritual element. A lot of the reason people go outside the church and seek after ungodly things, their spirit is not being fed. They're not feeding at the right trough. So they'll run after the horoscope or the palm reader, which is vile. which is an abomination against God. A lot of that is on our churches because we've not taught. No, there's power. Power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We need to give more opportunity for people to experience the power of God flowing through their life. He is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The majority of Christians today just want truth, not spiritual stuff. A few don't even want that much. That's what happened to our seminaries. They kicked the Holy Spirit out a long time ago. They started studying the Greek and the Hebrew and the this and the that, and then they threw that out too. Now they got degrees. I want to ask you, what good is a pastor, a bishop, a superintendent with 5 degrees behind their name who doesn't know what God is saying to the church today? Give me a good old saint who's never been to Bible college, but he knows his word, and he's been with Jesus this morning before he got to church, and the Holy Spirit breathes across his spirit so that he has a message for the body and can just blurt it out there for everybody to hear. I'll take that any day over 5 doctorates and all of, that they can feed you in some of these seminars. Now, knowledge is important. It's a study to show yourself approved. Paul said it's a vital part of our ministry. But we need to get more spiritual. This is the last in my series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking out of the tongues for a little while. I don't know, maybe I've grated against your senses in some of the things that I've said. But I'll consider this series a success if I've at least opened you up to the possibility there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is an experience called speaking in other tongues. Take it all to God and ask him about it. If you want to study, read the book of Acts. Then 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. And ask God to go with you as you read and reveal things to you. Remember the words of Jesus. If you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. Amen. Any questions? I mean, seriously, any questions or comments? Brother.
I have a word this morning. I think we all should stand.
Stand with me, please.
I would say unto my people this morning, as you study your word, my word is a lamp unto your feet. And I would say unto my people, as we travel through this land, it's a time and it's an opportunity to trust me like you never did before. I have given you this opportunity to trust me through many things that are going on in your life. And you wonder, why are these things happening? It's an opportunity to trust me. But I would say unto my people this morning, the end result of you trusting me will be the praise that comes from your lips, will be the praise that you demonstrate to the neighbors that you come in contact with, will be the praise that you distribute to everyone that you meet, that they may know through your lips that you trust me and that you can praise me through everything that you are going through. And this is the word that the Lord has given to me this morning.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Now, you would have thought we set that up before the service, but we didn't. And I would venture to say that, Kirvin, you were like sitting on an egg that whole time saying, Lord, this doesn't make sense. There's no opportunity to give this and so on. But then the Lord made an opportunity for it to happen. Anybody else with a question or a comment about this whole subject? All right, you're all good. I did such a good job of teaching over the last 4 weeks. You're all scholars and ready to go. But again, it's not about our minds, is it? It's about our spirit. Let's open our spirits up to more of God as we sing this chorus together. These altars are open if you'd like somebody to pray with you today, or if you'd just like to seek a little harder, but ask the Lord to pull you out a little deeper, a little further today.